Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Hey, pet pals. Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest today is about to take you on a very unique world tour. He's an award-winning photographer and author. You know, he could talk about the Louvre Museum in Paris or maybe the ancient Parthenon in Athens. Nope, he's here for all you cat lovers in search of cat cafes, cat museums, and other feline attractions. And he details all of this in his must-get new book. It's aptly called, ready for it? Street Cats and Where to Find Them. Please join me in extending a meowvelous welcome to Jeff Bogle. Welcome, welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Arden. This is such a pleasure to be here. I thank you for that amazing introduction. Yes, I could take people to the famous stuff in these amazing cities, but let's skip all that and just go straight for the cats.
I love it. I love it. And everybody, he's a cat daddy. He's a daddy of two gals, daughters, and he kind of gets around a lot around the globe. Have you ever figured out how many different countries you've actually visited, Jeff?
I do. I'm one of those dorks that keeps a running list on his phone. I have a list of countries I've been to. I have a list of countries my wife and I have been to together. My kids have been to. I've got many lists on my phone. Yes, I've been to 57 countries on six continents. I'm missing one continent. Yeah.
What's the missing continent?
Australia, New Zealand.
Oh, matey, you got to get there.
Cranky. I know.
So where is a place that is on your bucket list that you would want to go next? What's the place you haven't been to, you're trying to pine for?
I'm going to check that bucket list box off in January. Hong Kong. Very
Ooh.
Excited to go to Hong Kong, to see the shop cats of Hong Kong, and just to see that those high rises on either side of that bay. Photos of that place just make my jaw drop. So I'm very excited to see that.
So I say that real men love cats. And you need to add to that verification. What's your home situation like in outside of Philly?
My wife and I have four cats. I'm a dad of two human daughters and four feline daughters.
Oh, my God. You are?
All girls. I'm a girl dad across the board. I love girl cats. My soul cat, who the book is dedicated to, Tilly, she was one of those rare orange tabby girls. Lost her 6 years ago. The book, there's two pictures of her in the front of the book. Everything else is street cats, but there's two pictures of my baby that are in there. So that she's lives forever, because as long as that book is being printed, my Tilly is never truly gone. But yeah,
I love that. Is Tilly from Peru?
Tilly? No, yeah. Tilly was a rescue from the SPCA.
Okay.
16 years ago, I had her for 10 years, and then she
wow.
passed away. And I think about her every day. I generally cry whenever I say her name. She meant the world to me. It's been, again, it was 6 years in June.
That's it. Doesn't matter.
That's
in the heart. Your heart beats Tilly, and I love that.
And as I was traveling to make this book, I felt, not to get spiritual or kind of existential about this, but orange cats kept, more than any other color or type of cats, kept coming to me, and I had to feel that that was Tilly sending. I'm gonna start crying. That was Tilly sending me her friends to be with me.
Well, I have two orange cats, Casey and Rusty. Pet safety cat Casey, who teaches first aid and is a therapy cat. He's a big, long, lean, purring machine. And then we have a smaller orange cat named Rusty, whose full name is Rusty the Performer, because he was a former amazing cat, circus cat. So if you don't watch out, Rusty will leap on your shoulders. He'll let you walk around the house with him, draped around you.
That's amazing.
So let's dive in, because I like the fact that people need a little bit background on you because you have an eye for things and you have the ability to write. And have you ever figured out how many books you've written on various topics? But your genre seems to be travel. Mostly,
well, yeah.
Right?
So interestingly, this is my third book, technically.
Oh,
I've
okay.
written two guided journals, one for dads to help them tell their story through a series of 100 really reflective questions.
Well, isn't it called 100 Questions for Dad?
Yeah, it was a little on the nose with the title of that one. And then a similar one for kids to talk about how much they love their dads. This is my first, like, prosaic, because with the travel stories that are in here, there's a real narrative, not an arc to it, because every destination has its own standalone essay, but I've written, I'm more of a magazine and travel writer. So I've written for, just as we record this today, I filed my first piece for BBC Travel, but I've written for Travel and Leisure, Fodor's, Reader's Digest, Good Housekeeping, almost everyone. There's a few bucket list publications, Washington Post. There's a few bucket list publications I haven't written for yet, but I've been doing this for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I like is the book Street Cats and Where to Find Them. Hey, Pet Pals, we're going to dive in more and find out where he's been and what these street cats are all about and how do you interact with them. But we got to take a quick break, and you all know the drill. We're going to sit and purr. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. All Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the Old Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We're speaking with author and photographer. He is up to discuss a new book. It's called Street Cats and Where to Find Them. The man gets around the globe. I love the concept of this because I've been to several countries and I'm always looking for that cat in different countries. And I actually went to the ruins of the Parthenon in Athens, Greece, on a tour. I was there to teach pet first aid and safety, but I'm on a regular tour. You know how those are.
Yeah.
And we're climbing up to see the ancient Parthenon ruins.
So high. Yeah.
And then this black cat comes out of nowhere and he comes to our group, not to anybody else but me. I stick my little finger out, which is called the kitty hello, and he rubs his cheek against my index finger. And this lady who had just met me said, "You really are in the pet business, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't know what's more exciting, seeing the Parthenon or being greeted by a cat."
It's the latter. It's not even a question, Arden. Having a cat choose you, trust you, and vet you. Like, I think one of the reasons I love cats and street cats specifically so much, because they have a skill that I wish I had, that they could just tell if you're a kind not that people aren't kind if they don't come to them, but they can just tell just by sniffing you, no, I like you, you're good, you're kind, you're going to take care of me, and I trust you. And that is an amazing gift.
It is.
And I had gotten that in 20 countries on 5 continents to make this book. I've had that experience over and over and over again, and it was just a dream. This book was a dream to make, largely because not only because I got to put Tilly in it, but because I got to have cats sleeping on my lap, rubbing up against my legs, sniffing my fingers, and just being with me and trusting me for the 6 months that it took for me to travel the world to make this book.
You know, what a great gig. I mean, really?
There's worse ways to make a living, Arden. There's worse ways.
But the one thing I would say, and you have this, you do speak cat, because it doesn't matter if you're in Peru or you're in England or wherever, there is a language that cats do with you, right? That they communicate. So can you give our loyal OBehave folks a couple of tips on how to safely and politely approach a street cat?
Absolutely. So I'm proud. So after the introduction, there is a whole section in the book called Staying Safe with Street Cats, where I interview a woman, an amazing woman in Athens named Irini, who does cat tours. She takes care of the cats in this neighborhood called Thysio, which is right next to where the Acropolis is. And we talked about this exact topic. So what you want, the main things, and what's, I'm 6'5", so I'm a very tall and...
Oh, I'm 5'1".
Oh, wow.
Not tall and short of it here today. Wow, 6'5", wow.
So what I need to do is to get, even more so because of who I am, you get down on their level. I'm very imposing. Any human to a cat is going to be very imposing. You get down, you crouch down, you talk in a lower voice, you just be a stiller, quieter version of your normal self.
Okay.
And then you, like you said, you put your finger out. I'm a fan of the whole hand. I put my entire hand kind of up and down vertical so that they can kind of sniff all my fingers, rub up against the back of my hand or hopefully the palm. That's the best, when they get their cheek right up.
Oh, yeah.
The palm of your hand, and sometimes just leave it there. And that's the first interaction. So you don't reach an arm out. You do that. You let them make the first move, consenting to anything that comes after that. And then if they choose you, if they rub up against you, usually you've got them at that point. Because then what I immediately do, if I haven't already done it, is sit down, crisscross applesauce on the ground, on a curb, on a bench, wherever I am. And they will usually either lay next to my feet, lay on my sneakers, I wore the same pair of shoes for the entire time that I made this book. So the smell.
Wait a minute, how much of a duration are we talking?
6 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. 20 countries on 5 continents in 6 months.
Wow. Wow.
And those shoes must smell, it's like the United Nations of footwear, of feline footwear. They must have so many odors baked into them. And so cats like often lay on them or jump up and curl up on my lap. A great story about that. I'm in Lima, Peru, my favorite destination in the world, which is, the book starts in Lima, which my editor was like, shouldn't we start that in Istanbul? That's what everybody thinks about. I'm like, no. It's all about Lima for me. So I had a cat, an orange baby, sleeping on my lap until the rule number one, you don't move until they move.
So you better practice Kegels if you have to go to the bathroom. That's
exactly what you're saying. Oh, yeah, no, a lot of squeezing and holding in and legs falling asleep, fearing amputation. I'm like, I can't feel anything, but this cutie is sleeping and I'm not moving. But I actually I was on a curb, so I was not on a bench. So they fell asleep really fast. So I pizza peeled under the cat on my lap and moved it to the grass, still asleep. I managed to extract the cat. Before I could get my backpack and stand up, the cat woke up, got back on my lap, curled right back up. I'm like, I guess I live here now. I guess part of me is still sitting on that curb in Lima, Peru.
Well, you said in the book that in Lima, it's called the Holy Trinity of Cat Parks. Talk to me. What is that? What was that?
That's what I call it, because there's three parks. So one of the things, so when you're in Istanbul, when you're in Greece, so this is the world's first travel guide for cat lovers. But when you're in certain places like those two, you just go outside. You're going to find cats everywhere. But in some places like Lima, they're not just everywhere. They're concentrated in three lush green parks that are all next to each other in Miraflores neighborhood. And so three of them, I just called it the Holy Trinity because it was the most remarkable place I've ever been. So much so that a year later to the day, I went back and took my wife because I wanted her to experience this. And we had another four beautiful fall in the Southern Hemisphere days of cats on our lap. And what I write in the book is that it was like Oprah, like, you get a cat, you get a cat, you get a cat. Because morning, noon, and night in these parks, one out of every three people who was just hanging out on a bench, eating some street food, sitting on a curb, had a cat on their lap. It wasn't just me. There were cats. They're loved. We've seen them fed, given medicine in these parks. And they're all adoptable too. There's signs up all throughout.
Oh, I love that. I mean, it's sure better than wonderful. The monkeys that are throwing their you-know-what at you.
Much better.
Hey, everybody. We're speaking with Jeff Bogo. He is the author of a book I want you to get your paws on. It is called Street Cats and Where to Find Them. We're going to dive in a little bit more after we take this quick break. So sit, purr. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising, so I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jeff Corwin, host of Wildlife Nation, brought to you by Defenders of Wildlife. And I'm with OBehave with Arden Moore.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to OBehave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the OBehave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I got a cat man, a real cool cat man, and his name is Jeff Bogle. He's an author, he's a photographer, and he digs cats. And he was talking about one of his favorite places is in Peru. But let's dive in a little bit. We want to get people to be really ready to get their paws on your book, Street Cats and Where to Find Them. So tell us a little bit about how the book is structured. We talked a little bit about Peru, but hit us with a couple other things because you're doing cat museums, you're doing other stuff.
Yeah, Arden. So thank you. So the book starts with an introduction, a little bit about me and my journey, because I did not grow up with cats. They came to me later in life, which is why the book's also dedicated to my ex-wife, because she, when we were in her early 20s, she brought a cat into my life, which I won't spoil it, but I throw a hissy fit when I'm a younger man.
Okay.
Because I thought they would ruin my life, and they didn't. Spoiler alert, cats didn't ruin my life, everyone.
Yes, absolutely. They're making your life.
They do every day. And then I go into staying safe, and then we get right into destinations. There's 20 destinations, and starting with Lima and going through Taiwan and Marrakesh and Cairo. And in each, it's structured that there are photos in each location, a story, a full sensory story about what it's like, what it was like to be there. So it's first person, it's me there eating the local food, talking to people, being with the cats, seeing some famous things and talking about that, the little bit of the history where it's applicable, where you need to know about certain things, like in Rome specifically. And then a little bit of travel intel, so that this book sits at the intersection of coffee table book, that if you just want to sit at home, travel the world from the comfort of your sofa with your kitties on your lap, you can do that. Because you'll feel, if I did my job right, when you read the stories and look at the photos, you'll feel like you're there with me. But it's also small enough that it can throw it in your backpack, and it's an old-fashioned travel guide. It'll tell you where to stay, where to eat, what airport to use to get close to the cats quickly.
So you're the Rick Steves of the cat.
I will take that pull quote and use that forever, Arden. Thank you.
We talked a little bit about Peru. You mentioned something about Rome. You said you got to be a little careful. I mean, you're not giving the new Pope a cat, right, as a hello?
No, he would probably like one.
Hey, he's from Chicago like me. It's okay.
Exactly. So, no, in Rome, it's a specific, there's specific areas. So, again, it's one of those places where you're not just going to step foot into Rome and see cats everywhere. You go to certain sections And there's a cat sanctuary in Rome that I focus on a lot because it is like the gold standard of cat care. It's been there for decades. And it takes care. It's called Torre Argentina. It is on the site, the archaeological site where Julius Caesar was assassinated, and cats live there and roam around that. But after the destinations, I dive into cat cafe culture. I traveled the world. I highlight some of my favorite cat cafes and some of the ones that are doing interesting things.
Oh, that's a real diplomatic way of saying yuck. But seriously, cat cafes and cats themselves are, I think, they are really hot right now and popular. But what's your take on, give us a couple of juxtapositions of cat cafes that you've been to.
So cat cafe culture in America is vastly different from how it exists around the world. So
okay.
We have sort of draconian food and beverage laws.
Who doesn't want a cat hair in your coffee? Come on.
Exactly. I mean, we live with cats all around us and they climb all over our kitchen islands and tables and like whatever. But in America, cat cafes, it's separated. So there's a cat area sealed off from a cafe area. And they're usually like a hefty entrance fee, which, to be fair, a lot of times that does go to benefit the cats. But a lot of times you're not sure if like $20 an hour seems awfully expensive to hang out with some cats. And around the world, that's not like that. Some of them have fees, but some of them are proper restaurants. You're just hanging out, having real food, great food.
Give me an example. Give me a place.
There's a place in Tokyo. My favorite it's probably doing a disservice to call it a cat cafe. It is a restaurant with cats, and it is stunning. It's in the book, and the way it's structured, it is an Italian man and a Japanese woman met in Australia, fell in love, started a restaurant, and they love cats. And the cats that live there are all adoptable, no fees. You come in, you get it's such a part of the fabric of the community in the Yanaka neighborhood in Tokyo. Massimo, the owner, will meet with you. He will learn about your lifestyle, what your life's like. And after you come in and have a few meals, if there's a cat that you're bonding with, you can take that cat home for like a little trial. And if it works out, there's no adoption fee. That he is just placing cats in a very curated experience. And the food is off the charts amazing. So it is, and you're there. You're eating and there's a cat on your lap. You're eating and there's a cat by your feet. And you want to take a break in between courses and get down on the ground and pet cats, do so. It's, you know, it's just like living at home. We all cook and we pet cats and then we go right to eating. There's no delineation between those two experiences.
Well, I know I might be wrong, but I thought Japan was kind of the leader in cat cafe culture. Is that right?
It's where it really exploded. It started in Taipei City, Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
In 1998. And the original cat cafe, the one that started it all, is still there. And we went to it. And in Taipei, which I fell in love with. I was never there before. Absolutely fell in love with it. There are at least 24 cat cafes in this one city. So Japan took it and made it world famous, but Taipei it's still thriving. And I developed in the book a 24-hour cat cafe circuit.
Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Okay, so it means you wake up in the morning. If you want to do it in order, you wake up in the morning and there's a place to go and get your morning coffee and a pastry, and then you move on. And they're all connected by great public transportation links. You move on to a little bit of a brunch and then a late lunch spot and then a dinner spot and then a late night coffee in a place called Fufu Cafe, which has almost every breed of cat you can imagine, plus rescued street cats there. And that has a tiny entrance fee. It's on the second floor above a night market. And it is so chill and relaxing while you're hanging out with lycoys and Egyptian cats and the grumpy cats. There's a photo in the book. And they feed them all together in a line at 8 o'clock every night.
Well, you know, cats wear invisible watches. They do know.
Oh, they know.
Yeah.
Our oldest cat, Figgins, who's 10, the minute it turns like 4:50, she is on the kitchen island. And she won't make a sound unless we go anywhere near. So we sort of avoid the kitchen because if you even show yourself, she's like, meow, meow, just want to let you know. It's getting really close to 5. Just want to let you know. But they feed everybody at 8. And there's two really fuzzy grumpies that they actually put bibs on. And they line up all the bowls in a row. And they all come and they all know their exact bowl to come to. It is One, it's adorable. But two, it's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. So you can spend an entire day going to cat cafes. Eating your way through Taipei.
I'm in.
Hanging out with all different kinds of cats.
You also talk about some cat museums. And some museums can be a big yawn. And some museums are pretty jazzed up. So do you have a cat museum that you really thought was...
I do. I love the Cat and Cabinet in Amsterdam, which I adore because it walks you through. First of all, it's a beautiful building, like most buildings in Amsterdam. So yeah, the last section of the book, I touch on festivals, museums, some hotel cats, just a little bit of a hodgepodge to end the book with the ways we celebrate and have cats in our lives and can interact with them. But the Cat and Cabinet has actual cats that live there too. So it's you get cats in advertisements, cats, statues and sculptures, artworks, photos of cats with Picasso, with famous people who own cats are in there, all in this beautiful old home right on a canal. All right, everything's on a canal in Amsterdam. And then when you go up in the backyard, there's giant billboards of cats, like in film posts. And there's two cats that live out there. And there's benches. You can just sit down and be with a cat. I had one on my lap, of course, everywhere, while looking at all of this artwork. So that is well worth the entrance fee. It is not a snooze at all. And it's right in the heart of Amsterdam.
Well, my favorite nonfiction author is Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, his house in Key West.
And that Hemingway house in Key West and all that. And he was a writer that I loved. I'm a former newspaper reporter, so I write tight. And it's so fun because they'll say, I shot the gun. And it's like, his war books, everything. It was always short, succinct.
The shortest
sentence,
really lots
good.
Of periods. Yeah.
The dude loved cats.
Yes, he did.
And he had the polydactyl suit. Have you ever been to the Hemingway house in Key West?
I have not. It's in the book, but it is not a place that I've been to yet. I'm hoping. So I'm doing something else fun next year that I'm hoping to repeat. So
you're going to let the cat out of the bag? You're on the number one podcast of pets.
I absolutely am. So I've written the world's first travel guidebook for cat lovers. I'm also next year partnering with Celebrity Cruises to host the world's first street cat cruise.
What?
Yes.
All right.
It leaves October 19th of next year, 2026. It starts in Italy. We're going to Croatia. We're going to Montenegro, Malta, and Greece. 11 days.
Oh,
my gosh. Every single port is in the book. I'm going to be leading guided cat tours, doing some cat photography with people, and then have lots of fun surprises planned on board. I'm bringing that up talking about Key West because my plan for the second street cat cruise, if this all works and people are booking it, it's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to give people the most memorable cat hair filled vacation of their lives. My second cruise I want to do is that will touch Key West and New Orleans and some Caribbean islands that have cats because New Orleans is in the book and Key West Hemingway House is in the book. So I'd like to do like a private tour of that with people. So hopefully I prove the concept, I get enough interest in people who love to travel, who love cats, and want to combine those. So I write a lot about the cruise industry, so I'm like, well, why not pull these two things together? I know a lot about cruising, I'm good at it, I can help people through it. We've got incredible group rates, Celebrity is really excited about this, and that's all at streetcatcruises.com.
Well, thank you. Streetcatcruises.com.
That's
and how
right.
How do people find out about you, Jeff Bogle?
So there's links off of there, but I don't have, you know, the one thing that I didn't do is sort of set up a cat moniker. I'm not Jeff the Cat Guy or anything like that. My Instagram and everything on social media. I mean, you could Google me. I told my wife when we met 6 years ago, I'm a pretty good Google. I'm an even better Google now because there's a lot more cat photos with me associated with my name. But it's just OWTK. That's the four letters. That's my Instagram, which is covered in cat stuff. It's the acronym of my old dad blog. Remember the mommy blogger?
Yeah.
Well, I was one of the first dad bloggers, and that stands for Out With The Kids, which was the name of my blog. So OWTK is me on Instagram and Twitter and everything else. But yeah. Google in my name or the name of the book. You'll find me pretty easily.
You know what I love is the passion that you feel when you hear you and see you. And I'm telling you, man, you found a niche, don't you think?
I hope so. We are talking
to be filled.
The publisher and I are already talking. This book came out just in August of this year. So as we talk about 2 months ago, we're already talking. It's doing very well. People love it. The response when I get in front of people, and I'm very enthusiastic about the things I love. And there's few things I love more than traveling with wondrous eyes and a curious mind and a kind heart.
That sounds like a cat.
It is. I am like a cat. with one massive exception, which when you ask me the question that you ask everybody at the end, I will tell you
okay.
The one exception, why I'm not like a cat. But yeah, people are liking it. We're already talking. We're having early discussions about book number two. So,
well, you and I have something in common. I have worked and published a number of books with Story that got bought up by Hachette. And that's the publisher. So we're kind of book-in-law mates.
We are. Bookmates. That's cool.
All right. Hey, everybody. We're speaking with Jeff Bogle. He is the author of Street Cats and Where to Find Them. I love this dude. And I hope you guys, you're looking for holiday items, gifts to give to your favorite cat person. Please check out this book and book that cruise for 2026 that he talked about with Celebrity. I know we're going to have you back. We should do something when you're on the cruise ship. We can make it work. You know that, right?
That would be so fun. Yeah. We could be live from Dubrovnik or live from Montenegro, surrounded by cats. That would be so great.
So you know the deal. I like to ask my guests, what's a superpower, something about cats you wish that you have and why?
This is what I was alluding to. So I'm a lot like a cat in a lot of ways. Once you earn my trust, you have it for a lifetime. The one thing I'm not like cats, I have a really hard time, as you could probably tell by my excitable nonstop talking, of just stopping and napping. So a cat nap, if I could peacefully shut my brain down and lay in the sun for, I don't know, a good 6 hours every day and lick myself clean, that would be amazing.
Well, you're no napper. You're no cat napper. You are championing cats everywhere. You've been a delight. Everybody,
please check
out Jeff Bogle and his book, Street Cats and Where to Find Them. I also want to give a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the producer of Pet Life Radio. Humbly, Obehave. We are the flagship, and we have been on the air since 2007, making us the longest running weekly pet podcast on the planet. And we have won the Cat Writers Association's equivalent of the Oscars. It's like, I want to thank the Academy because our show was voted the best and won the President's Award this week by the Cat Writers Association. So very humble, but very honored. We wanted to share that. You guys want to find out what I'm up to? Well, check out Pet First Aid for You and ardenmore.com. I team up with a cool orange tabby named Casey and a cool terrier mix named Kona. And we teach veterinary-approved pet first aid in person via Zoom and now self-paced courses. So we have taught people on every continent except, where's the very cold one up here?
Antarctica.
Antarctica. We have now had people take our classes in every continent except Antarctica.
The one continent without cats.
Yeah.
I've been there. I was looking. Couldn't find a single one.
Again, thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, just delivering two words to you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.